Good morning. So like John alluded to earlier in the service, this morning is not going to be a normal Sunday. So it's actually going to be quite different than what we're used to, and hopefully that's something that we can get past. So like John mentioned, Mike approached us, the college group, and asked us if we'd be willing to take over a Sunday. And a lot of us were very into this idea and wanted to get up here right away. And then there are those of us who weren't quite as excited as everyone else about getting up here and having to talk in front of everyone. But hopefully, I think we're going to get our point across. You see, we were approached with the opportunity of getting to know you guys a little bit better because we feel that there's this kind of disconnect between the generations of this church. And we really want to take the first step in the initiative, and it's almost like with a handshake where we're reaching out first because someone needs to take that first step. And we're hoping that this can be our first step to get to know us a little bit better as a group. Now, unfortunately, we couldn't have the whole group up here. There's not really enough room for 35 people or enough time to get the views of 35 people in an hour and a half. So we took a group of four of the people here with a lot of different backgrounds and different places in their lives just to try and get a little bit of a better picture of what's going on. So if I could have each of them introduce themselves, give them, you know, a little bit about where they went to school and where they're at now in their life.
Testing? All right, there we go. Awesome. All right, my name is Nolan Green. I have not been raised in this church, as many of you probably are figuring who in the world this guy is. But graduated from Fredericktown just this past spring, and I will be going to OSU Mansfield. Nope, not Mansfield, Columbus. Not fall.
Hi, I'm Paige. I graduated from Lexington last year, so this year is my first year at Hope College. It's in Holland, Michigan. And I've been coming here since about sixth grade, went to Surge, and have been coming to the church since. So.
Good morning. I'm Brandon Mallory. I'm the one guy up here that didn't go to college, but I did graduate from Clear Fork High School, and I'm currently working at Gorman Rupp.
I'm Michael Gonzalez, and you're too hard on yourself because I only went to college for 1 year. So, I went to high school in Shelby, and I still live in Shelby actually. And I went to OSU Mansfield for a year. So, and I work here.
And I also work here. I'm one of the college interns here, actually working with the college group. So, I guess we're going to jump right into this. So. The first question that we have is, are there any college-age people that chose not to go to college? And if so, why did you choose to do so?
So that would be me. The reason I didn't choose to go to college was because I wasn't sure really what I wanted to do. There wasn't a set profession that I wanted. And going through the youth group and having guys that I've graduated and talked to as they're going through college and seeing that they've changed their majors 3-4 times, and spending the extra money to do that kind of was like, well, I don't really need to go to college. I had a job. I was 16 years old when I first got my first job, and then since then I've either changed jobs or got promotions through those jobs. And I'm a strong believer that people don't really need to go to college. I know some educators out there, parents are like, don't tell my kids that. They need to go to college. But, there are jobs out there. There's trade schools that you can go to get, be an electrician, welders, that isn't a formal college. So, I would just say there's good enough jobs out there that you can just go into out of high school.
And those of you who have gone to college, was it a good choice when you went at the time you did? Or would you prefer to do something a little bit differently if you had to do over again?
Well, this is my first year so far, so it's been good. I've learned a lot in the past year, and I've grown a lot, especially going away from home and not being able to go back on weekends because it's a 5-hour drive. I kind of learned how to do a lot on my own and figuring stuff out, figuring life out in general. I still don't know what I want to do. I am majoring in biology, but still trying to figure that out. It's a process.
So I haven't started college yet officially yet, but there's a lot of anxiety that comes along with starting college and not entering directly into the workforce. With entering directly into the workforce, you have a lot more security because you don't have the college debt to worry about and you have an instant flow of income. But whereas with college, you're at that point in your life where you don't know what you want to do, and even though you have a plan for your life, you don't know if that's the right plan because you don't know if you're going to pass all your classes or if you're going to enjoy what you're doing, and this could determine the rest of your life, essentially. And so it's kind of at a point where I lost my train of thought. But what was the question?
Would you do anything differently?
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, you don't know what you're going to do. Sometimes you just got to step out on a leap of faith and just kind of go where God leads you.
Yeah, for someone who only went to college for a year, I don't live with regrets, but I think, look back sometimes and maybe wonder, you know, should I have? But I didn't know what I was doing, so I really didn't have a plan for my life, and so God really, well, I don't want to answer questions too soon, but God really opened up doors, so I'll just leave it at that.
So then the next question is, what is the biggest hindrance of college age, you know, young professional ages getting involved in a youth group or in a ministry here at church?
So I'll just follow that up with, for me, I don't think there was really a hindrance, but I see the need for college age groups because I, living in Shelby, there really wasn't any young adult groups anywhere or friends, so they all went off to college. So, for me, awakening, does everybody know what awakening is? I'm not sure if everyone knows, but awakening is basically a young adult ministry that's not affiliated with the church but builds the church up, and it really is just kind of a community of young adults who are looking for somewhere to go, and we try to plug them into churches. A lot of Berean people are here by nature of me and John Deck both being here. But anyways, and that's what brought me to here as well, John being a part of that and then leading me here as an opportunity for me to grow as a leader. But I also think, I'll just leave it at that for now. It's weird because we had already did this once, so I'm like trying to remember what I said the first time, but because it was like natural the first time, the second time it's just like, what did I say the first time? Anyways.
Yeah, it's hard because some of the people are still here in the service, so you don't want to be like, am I going to change my answer and make them think I'm just not really sure what I'm doing here? Because I don't. So for me, I don't find a lot of hindrance in ministry here at Berean, just because I am a really social person. I mean, looking through out here, I know like 80% of you. And if you don't, come talk to me. So I think we talked a little bit about this. We're doing a Sunday night meeting of young adults at our building 216 here. We're starting this Sunday to create a community around Mansfield, all that, to not just get the Berean kids together, but to have a young adult ministry that focuses and is kind of tailored to us. And we're trying to start something called Bridge the Gap. And it's not official yet, but we're trying to get that in the works, where we have the next generation before us come and kind of mentor to us. Not really be a small group leader like there is in the youth group or a Sunday school teacher, but just to get together, to get to know each other, to talk about what they went through at our age and kind of give us ideas of what we can do. You know, some of the mistakes you guys have made. I'm not saying you did, but I'm sure you probably did. we all have. But the only hindrance I think there is just that gap of having more community other than just these guys and the ones sitting over here in the front, just having that community where we can build more into the church because it's the generational gap.
I think one of the hardest things for college students in general, like to walk into, it's just walking into a church. I didn't experience that here because I've been here for a while and I've had the community of like the surge students in the youth ministry. It's been really great. But when I went to college, I had to go looking for a church on my own. And that was a very intimidating process, just walking in and seeing just a bunch of unknown faces. The one church I stayed at, the people I noticed would try to engage with me in conversation, and I really loved that. They showed that they cared, and they wanted to build a relationship and community. And I think that's what you're looking for, or a lot of young adults are looking for in a church, is the community there. So
I'm kind of the opposite of Brandon. I am highly unsocial. And so I wasn't raised in this church, so I'm not very familiar with a lot of the people that regularly attend here. And the past couple churches that I've been to haven't had a very strong youth ministry. There's a youth that has been present, but there's not a whole lot of effort being put out, especially into the young adult realm of things. So a big hindrance is just the lack of community that's been in my life beforehand, and my own inability to be outgoing and sociable. And I believe that's also a problem with many other young adults because everybody's different and not everybody can tolerate high amounts of social activities. And so 412 has kind of like, they originally reached out to me. And so that's what really brought me in. And it was a firm community of believers. Like everybody knew each other and it was fairly open. It wasn't a rigid structure and everybody was relatable. Whereas like a lot of people out there, a lot of churches out there aren't really relatable. And I think being relatable is very important.
So for me, this shows more or less two issues. The first being that now that we are out of high school and moving on with our lives, we come into a place where we have a lot more responsibility and a lot more control over like what we do. So we have the control to be able to say, yes, we're going to go to church, or no, I don't really feel like going to church today. It's an early morning, it's raining out. I'd rather stay in bed. So when we come into this area where we have a lot more control over this, it makes it so much more easier to be able to say, well, I know there's a group that's going to be holding me accountable here at the church to be here, and they're going to reach out to me, which comes to the second point. With us being in an odd spot in life, because we're not in high school anymore, but we're not really fully functioning adults yet either. We're in this weird gap where we're not children, but we're not really ready to talk about retirement, 401ks, and things of that nature yet either. So we're in this odd spot, and we're trying to figure out where we fit in. So it makes it so much more easier if we can just kind of combine and talk with and, you know, bridge that gap that we do see there. Because we're not opposed to talking with anyone here at all. Because I think there's this kind of misnomer when it comes to our generation and that we don't want the advice from you guys and we don't want to talk to you and we want to be doing our own things. But we don't. It's actually quite the opposite. I think our generation, more than any other generation before us, is more open to that kind of mentorship when it comes to this. Because we see, and we've been raised with the idea of trying not to make mistakes. But the problem is a lot of the time we don't understand the mistakes that we're even getting into. We're in a new part of our life, and one that's not really been guided and taught to us. So having someone to step forward and say, yes, I'm going to be a mentor. And it doesn't take much. Right. Has anyone made a mistake here before in their life? Any around college age? Yeah.
At least five.
It's okay. So the rest of you who didn't raise your hand, you guys are perfect, and therefore you should be mentors too. It's going to work out great. So really what we are looking for is just to bridge the gap and build more unity. All right. So then we've got the next question here, and it's, what do you think of millennials leaving the church?
So This is kind of where 412 came from, is this question here. But the problem is, I think I'm the only millennial in the group. I'm the old guy of the group. So Gen Z's also. So there for a while, it was you have children's ministry, you have youth group Surge, and then, you know, when I was in Surge, it was big church up here. This is big church. And just having that stigma of, you know, you don't have really a place in between Surge and big church. And like Justin said, I mean, I have to talk about 401ks because of my job, but I really don't want to. you know, there's that spot where, all, you know, in the summer, these college kids come back and they don't want to go to youth group because they don't want to have to deal with the freshmen that they used to be. But they also don't want to sit in service by themselves or with their parents. I'm not saying that they don't want to, I'm sorry. But then that's where 412 came from, is we wanted to build this community of a place where these college kids could come back to, or the young professionals that just went into the workforce, they have a place to go on Sundays instead of staying in bed on a rainy Sunday. And it's hard because we all have friends that left the church, I think. At least I do. And that can be either something that happened at the church, transitions that people have issues with. But reaching out and having that community to talk to them that, hey, it's okay that you struggle with this, but let's talk about it. Come to class and stuff like that. So
the question was, what do we think about why millennials are leaving the church, right? Okay. There's a lot of reasons that that happens. Obviously, we already talked about community, how that's important. But I've seen people leave the church even with good communities. I think millennials specifically, like, a lot want to be heard. They want purpose. So if they're not feeling that, then they stray. I think a lot of times too, like even us, like just figuring things out, how to be adults, like I think sometimes we just don't know what we don't know. So I think, again, that kind of just that being heard, but also having someone to like guide us in the right direction too. Like I've seen people leave the church just because of a bad decision, and they hung around with the wrong people and then were influenced the wrong way. And if someone would just have been there to be like, hey, you know, I love you, this is not going to be good. You know, this isn't going to help you. So like just having people to be honest, be real, but also be heard, and plugging people in to serve in the way God has gifted them, whether that's, you know, leading worship or, you know, serving in other ways, you know, feeding the homeless. I don't know. Just anyway, someone wants to serve or be used. I think that helps.
So, I think Brandon gave me this idea when he was speaking there, is purpose. Ever since we were little, Gen Z and millennials were always taught in school about how we need to either like save the rainforests or clean up the oceans, end world hunger, create world peace. And so it's instilled in all of us this drive and this passion to make the world a better place. And when they come to church and they hear about how Jesus saved us all, he's like, that gives them that passion. But then they see everybody just coming in on Sunday and then going home, that doesn't sound like they're doing a whole lot. They're just attending a building and then going home and then coming back the next week and attending the same building. So I think one thing we need to do as a church collectively is give the millennials and the Generation Z more purpose. Not everybody's entirely mission oriented. Not everybody can go to the Dominican Republic and just live there. There has to be other things for them to do, because everybody's different and everybody has their own strengths and weaknesses. And just like us up here, Like, this is something that we can do. We were asked whether we wanted to do this or not, and we agreed. And this is purpose. We have purpose.
Purpose. So our youth is kind of a blessing and a curse at the same time, because it gives us this kind of youthful exuberance and zeal to go out and do and actually change things. The problem is that we also lack the wisdom it takes to make the right decisions along the way. And this is where a mentor would really help us and guide us, because we have the young backs to be lifting furniture for the furniture ministry, and we have the initiative to go out and go and meet people for food, like to give out food and things of that nature. The problem is we need a little bit of direction. And that's really, I think, part of the reason why we don't see as much purpose for maybe the younger people in the church, is that we don't have someone saying directly to us, hey, would you be willing to go out and do this Saturday? And really, for a lot of us, I'm pretty sure that's all it would take. I don't think a lot of us would even ask what time or place. They would just be willing right then and there. Even if it were an hour and a half away, it wouldn't really matter. They would just show up anyway. So then we've got one last question here, and it's, what choice did you or your parents make that really took your faith to the next level, to where you owned it for yourself?
So this one's a little different for me from these guys. I didn't grow up in the church. My parents didn't take me to church. My grandma would take me once in a while. But I really had to own up on my own faith by myself, other than the people that I've had here, my small group leaders in Surge, just people that I've been on missions trips with, the family that I come with, the Tamers, they're the ones that brought me. And I think it was awesome seeing the difference between some of the people that I've mentored in the youth group, the way their faith is, their parents, and then them changing over to their own faith. I didn't really have that. I didn't have that base faith from my parents, so I kind of had to figure out a lot of it on my own. But having the people in this church rub shoulders with me, you know, if that's Don McCammon on missions trip showing me how to put mortar in between two blocks, if that's Susan waking up every morning and giving me a hug and telling me how awesome we're doing on the missions trip, if that's people yelling at me at softball that I can't catch the ball. I mean, hey, we're still rubbing shoulders and getting to know each other. But just growing in my own faith really made it stronger to make it my own.
For me, when I was younger, I went to MCS and we were at a church, but then there was a time when we were in between churches until I came here in sixth grade. The biggest thing for me that I like made my faith my own was the ability to choose to come here. I was the one who kind of initiated that, and the Holy Spirit working in me to come here and just form relationships and draw closer to God. But I had the space to do that, and that was something that was huge. I'm also very independent, so like my mom allowing me to take responsibility and be accountable for myself, that was a big part of my faith journey even now. So
I got it. Okay, so my parents weren't here the first service, so I got to take out all the bad stuff. I love my parents. I don't know that there was a moment for me where it just became my own. I think I always kind of been pretty motivated to do the right thing, to follow the Lord the right way. I would just like to share a little bit just about my appreciation for my parents, because I always say I have a boring story, and I'm very thankful for that, because my parents got saved when I was either just born or not quite born, I don't know, But either way, it's very close, and so I think my life could have looked a lot different. So I'm very thankful for that, first of all. I think, no, I lost my train of thought. Dang it, Nolan. I might remember something as Nolan talks.
I got you, Mikey, don't worry. All right, so my first step towards my own real foundation with God wasn't as much as a step as it was a push by my dad. It was around the fifth or sixth grade, we were attending another church. So I've always been raised in church, which I'm very thankful for that, just not this church. Fifth or sixth grade, my dad took me to the bookstore at the church that we were attending, and he got me my very own Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. It wasn't one of those little dinky New Testament handout Bibles. And he told me that I was to read it every day. And at first, I resented him for that because I'm not a big reader, and I think reading's a waste of my time, at least at that point. I appreciate reading now. But he always taught me, ever since I was little, to study and show yourself approved. And that's kind of what he instilled in me. And it stuck with me, and that's what really pushed me to drive and just seek out the truth, because you can't trust what everybody says. Like even pastors sometimes get it wrong. Sometimes they'll misinterpret a scripture or misinterpret a whole entire lesson, and you have to be knowledgeable enough, you have to know the word deep enough to be able to differentiate truth from lies. And if you can't do that, then you're just subject to everybody else's opinion. And that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to be independent Christians in a group and community of believers who can help out each other.
I remember now. Okay, so there's two things I just want to share just because I care about this. I like. First, I think part of what helped me keep my faith my own is I think they just always kept the line of communication open. They always made it known that my, you know, voice could be heard if I ever needed to talk about anything, that was something that I could do. And I think that helped me just feel like they're not just telling me things, just to tell me things. They're not telling me what to do, just to tell me what to do. So I think that was a big thing that just allowed me to make my faith my own. But also just thankful for my dad, just because he always taught me that that your heart is everything. And so that really defined who I am, and then them allowing me to be open about things just really allowed that characteristic to thrive. So
I'm glad you guys were able to maybe be forced to get to know us a little bit better, the people here. But I think it's time that you try and delve a little bit deeper into what 4:12 actually is about. So 4:12 is actually a reference to 1 Timothy 4:12. And this is a verse that we felt particularly fit our group specifically. So it reads, "Let no one look down on you for your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." So I know a lot of you are probably going to be jumping on that first part where it says, "Don't look down on us for your youthfulness," you know. And that's probably everyone's first thought. But that's really not the part of this verse that we're focusing on at all. It's actually more of the second part, where it says, in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, be an example. Because in this point in time in our lives, in the modern society with our generations, there's this idea of you do you, where you do whatever you want to do, and I don't get to look down on you for that. I don't get to correct you on anything that you're doing. Whatever you do is right to you, and I get to focus on what I'm going to do. What comes with this, though, is an idea of being attacked. If we say, "Oh, hey, would you want to come to church?" Like, whoa, are you saying that what I'm doing is wrong? It's like, well, a little bit, but. So we have to work maybe a little bit more carefully and trying to build relationships in that way. And a lot of the way that we can do this and that we can do this easily is through what we do. It's really not anything huge. It's really not anything that we have to go out of our way to do most times. A lot of the things that we can show difference in are pretty simple. But what are they? Don't worry, it's almost like God thought this through. There's steps. It's pretty easy. It's conduct. So how do we conduct ourselves when we're out? Are we acting like Christians? Are we acting like we're of the world? Are we separating ourselves? Our speech. And now I know everyone's going to think that this is just swearing, but there's so much more to it than that. There's so much more. Are we uplifting in our speech? It's very simple things that we do. And these things that we do give us the opportunity and they open the doors for us to be able to go out and be missional. And because of this, this is more or less why we call the group 412, because this is everything that we stand for and everything we want the group to be. So I'm glad you guys could sit through this, and even with like a newer, you know, a whole lot of change kind of service, and get to know us a little bit better. And I hope that we can get to know you guys a little bit better. We're going to be standing probably around this door over here, if not some of the other doors, if you have any questions for us that we didn't get to. So thank you.
Thank you. I've got another microphone right here. Okay. Well, now you know what I'm talking about when we talk about the fact that God has blessed Berean with some incredible young men and women. I trust that you are open to extending yourself, and they are incredibly receptive to being with us and talking with us and listening to us. Not like my generation was with our parents, so don't make that mistake. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the opportunity that we as a church have to celebrate the gift that you've given us. What an incredible thing, Father. A group of young people from a variety of backgrounds, living life in many, many ways, trying to discern your will, trying, Father, to live lives that are examples. I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that you would protect them. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church family to be able to reach out to them and intentionally involve ourselves in their lives, allow them to involve themselves in our lives. Lord, you are at work, and we are humbled that you are choosing to use us. Thank you for that incredible privilege. And Lord, we take it, the responsibility, very seriously. Thank you for this day, Lord, to remember your son's death, to see how you are working. Thank you, Father, that you are in control. We do love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you.